I want to ask you a question this morning. We're going to be in the last chapter of Jonah. And the question I want to ask this morning is simple. How would you feel if God saved your worst enemy? That is a resounding silence. How would you feel if God saved your worst enemy? Think who your worst enemy is. Sometimes it's ourselves. That's another sermon. But I want you to think through this. Would you feel joy? Would you feel angry or bitter or resentful? Let me rephrase the question. How did you feel when God rescued you? There's some hypocrisy here, right? I mean, I'm not speaking pejoratively. I'm trying to make a point. Are you and I any different from the worst person we know? So, I want to look at this kind of in detail this morning, because in Jonah chapter 4, for those of you who know the story, you know that this is a contrast between Jonah's anger at God's righteous compassion, and there should be no reason for it. There really should be no reason for it. Listen, let's get on the table something right away. We all have prejudices to some extent. And those prejudices can take many forms. We all have issues that we need to deal with and all. And because of past experiences, we may deal with resentment, bitterness, as some people. What I want to concentrate this morning on this, we got to ask these hard questions. Not because I'm asking you, because God is putting it right in front of us. How would you feel if your worst enemy was saved? How would you feel? I want to start with a clip. This is a clip. This is for real. This was a pastor who disguised himself as a homeless man. And he sat in front of his church. All right? So can we bring that up? Make sure the volume's up, please. Okay. I want you to see how God handles Jonah with the same type of issue. Let me set the stage for you. Jonah preached a simple message. He was commissioned by God as a prophet to go into Nineveh, which was an exceedingly wicked city. Wicked. Not only was it wicked, but it was a city where there was much violence, injustice, killings, I mean, all sorts of stuff going on. Plus, they hated the Jews. And God is saying, said to Jonah, you go there, who's Jewish, and you preach this message. In 40 days, I will come in judgment. 40 days, that's the grace of God. Giving them time to repent, giving them time to come to know God. Jonah goes in with the message after he was vomited up by the whale, correct? Goes in with his message, and in his message, he's one day into his journey. And the message takes off like wildfire, and gets to the king. And the king says, your God means business. The king believed, repented. The whole nation believed and repented. These were Jonah's enemies, people he hated, and they repented. And Jonah should have been doing cartwheels. But instead, he became very angry. But to Jonah, listen to the language here. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became very angry. You know, listen, we think we're the final authority on everything, don't we? If I don't like it, it's got to be wrong. If I don't like it, it's no good. If I, you know, the problem is that there's two problems with that. First of all, we're not God. Second of all, our opinion doesn't really count about what we think. It's what God is doing and what God thinks. And so Jonah became very angry. Here we see God's compassion, his righteous compassion. And the reason why I say righteous is because God's compassion isn't wishy-washy. It's not like I'm okay, you're okay. God is compassionate for all people. In that compassion, he says, I want you to repent of your sin and come to me and I'll show you a better way. Isn't that the message that Jonah brought? I want you to repent and come to me. Listen, the scriptures I read tell me that nobody's beyond God's forgiveness. Nobody. Whether we like them or not. Nobody is beyond God's forgiveness, whether they look like us or not. Nobody's beyond God's forgiveness. Sometimes we have even our own timetable. Correct? Well, if you don't see it by now, you're a lost cause. You don't know that. I don't know that. You don't know what God has in store for the person. Look how God deals with Jonah. Jonah prayed to the Lord, at least had the good sense to pray. He says, isn't this what I said? I want you to notice Jonah was a good theologian. He was a good theologian. You can be a theologian, a good theologian, and have a bad heart. Does that make sense? You can be a good theologian and have a bad heart. Watch what happens. This is what I tried to forestall. Jonah, notice all the eyes here. All right? Jonah's saying, I did this. I did this. I was trying to forestall this, Lord. I knew better than you. By fleeing to Tarshish, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from second calamity. Well, he was a good theologian. Other than thinking he knew better than God, here's what he knew. Jonah's pride and prejudice made him angry and resentful to God. And he kept reiterating how gracious and compassionate God is. That's not a bad thing. But Jonah didn't like it. Hence the question, how would you feel if God saved your worst enemy? How would you feel? He also knew that God was slow to anger and abounding in love. That's who God is. So how would you feel? Willing to extend forgiveness when there's repentance and faith. That's his righteous compassion. He offers it to all. And he says, come in repentance and faith. Simple trust. Well, goes on. Now, Lord, take away my life. This is Jonah, right? It's woe's me. Take away from my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, this is a key question. Is it right for you to be angry? Now listen, I'll put a helmet on at this point. When you are angry at something, chances are there's something wrong with you. Why do I say that? Because whatever sparked your anger usually is not the issue. It's usually something deeper that's going on. It's usually something unresolved. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't get angry. There are things that we should get angry at, okay? However, most times, anger is an indication that something might be wrong in here first with us. You ever think about it that way? Look at the next time you're angry. When you're dismissed today, and you get back in your car and you go on the road, I pity the guy that cut you off. You get angry. Well, what are you getting angry at? Well, maybe your heart still is not right with some stuff. You understand what I'm saying? This comes out many times in marriages when a husband and wife argue. When they argue about an issue, the issue is not the issue. It's something else that's going on. And so anger should be a flag to say, why am I angry? Is it because of my prejudice? Is it because of my pride? Is it because of my selfishness? Here, Jonah's being the quintessential narcissist. It's all about me. The world should revolve all around me. And God is trying to teach him a lesson. The one thing that God will do with us is give us on-the-job training. Okay? If Jonah's going to be a prophet, he's going to have to be trained more so that his heart can be aligned with the heart of God. I want to submit to you that most times our anger comes because our heart is not in line with the heart of God. Is it right for you to be angry? Look at how he responds. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of Nineveh. He made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, right? I think he did this because he couldn't believe that God spared the town. Maybe he was still hoping God would change his mind. And he wanted to be there to see the town wiped out. Showing his prejudice, his pride. He sat there and he waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a leafy plant, made it grow over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. You know why? It gave him shelter. He was comfortable. It was all about him. Never mind the whole city of Nineveh just got saved. That didn't matter. But this little plant over which he had no control that God provided to teach him a lesson gave him a little bit of creature comfort and he was okay for now, right? But the dawn came the next day and God provided what? A worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. A worm! He had to rescue Jonah with a great fish. And now he's trying to teach Jonah with a worm. Look what the worm did. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. It would be better for me to live than to die, he said. But God said to Jonah, again, God won't let us off the hook. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Well, look at Jonah. I mean, Jonah's still steeped in his anger here. It is. I am so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died. You see what God's trying to get him to see here? God provided the plant. Jonah had nothing to do with it. God provided it. So why was he so concerned about it? It was okay until the plant served him, but when it was taken away, it wasn't okay again. Look how the Lord ties this in. This is the Lord speaking. And should I not have concern, love, for a great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right from their left hand, and so many animals. This blows my mind. This blows my mind. God is saying, here are people I created, just like I created this plan. Here's people I created. They're mine. And I'm concerned for them. I don't want to see them perish. I want to see them come to know me. And so, These are people who can't tell their right hand from their left hand. What does that mean? I'm not sure. I can tell you this. This may be a reference to the fact that maybe there were 120,000 children in that city. Maybe. Along with the adults. Innocent children who suffered at the hands of violence, immorality, corruption. And he cared for them. And then he added the animals. Does God care about animals? Seems to be. The animals. Here's the thing. Even in our crazy culture, sometimes we show more love to animals than we do our human beings. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but sometimes our priorities get messed up. Sometimes when our hearts aren't aligned with God, our prejudices flare up, our anger can flare up. God asked the question, is it right for you to be angry? I want you to notice the ending of Jonah is open-ended. We don't know what happened after this. We really don't. I don't need to know. God knows. But I do know this. God was still teaching Jonah, his prophet, how to bring his heart into alignment with the heart of God. What about us? Is he teaching us? Do we have to ask these questions today? You know, sometimes words come out of our mouths too quickly. We say things without even consulting God. We say things without praying to God. We say things without reading the Word of God. And sometimes we mess it up. Our perspective and our priority is all wrong. I want to recall one other instance. This is a true story. For those of you who read The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Jewish believer who got caught up, her family got caught, and was put in one of the concentration camps in Nazi Germany during World War II. She and her sister and some other family members. In that time in her camp, she did kind of clandestine Bible studies to try to help the other inmates. But the guards were abusive. They abused physically, sexually, in any way. The male guards used to just stand there while the women would take showers and just abuse them. Finally, at the hands of the continued abuse, one of her sisters passed away. After the war was over, Corrie ten Boom is speaking at an evening service in Munich, Germany. And at that evening service was a man who came up to her and said, you talked about Ravenswood, which was the camp she was at. He says, I was the guard there, or one of the guards there. And Ms. ten Boom, you talk about forgiveness and how God has forgiven you and you have forgave others. And he says to her, since then, I've come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I know I've been forgiven, but I need to hear from your mouth, will you forgive me? Can you imagine? This was the guard that she saw when her sister died and knew all the atrocities that he did. And he comes up to her and says, will you forgive me? Her words, she said, my blood ran cold. I was paralyzed. And I said, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I can't even lift my hand up to this man. He had his hand out and said, would you forgive me? And she said she shot one of those prayers up. And this, she says, at least I can lift my hand up. And she lifted her hand up. And he grabbed it, and she said, at that point, beyond words can describe, a current ran from her shoulder down through her hand into him. And God broke the chain and said, I forgive you, my brother, with all my heart. How would you feel if God saved your worst enemy? This is a something that Corrie Ten Boom wrote. It's just five words. Universities, medical schools, Dr. K probably tell you this, has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on studies to prove this. It's amazing how much the Bible's proved and we don't even realize it. Here's what she said. Healing is linked to forgiveness. Healing is linked to forgiveness. You want to experience healing spiritually and emotionally? We need to forgive. We need to forgive. Because that's when God can bring true healing. Listen, I don't know what I would have done in her place. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. But I know if I look to God, he would have helped me do the right thing. I think if Jonah had really looked to God, he would have done the right thing. I know I get in trouble most of all when I don't look to God. And I do my own thing. How about us? As we come around the Lord's table, just simple questions I want to ask. Are you and I ready to confess our sin, running away from God's will? Are we ready to confess our anger, our bitterness, and resentment? Are you and I ready to learn from our failures and move on, doing God's will with a grateful heart? Are you and I willing to let God develop in us a heart of compassion, righteous compassion for people? Let me repeat that last one again. Are you and I willing to let God develop in us a heart of righteous compassion for other people? Only you can answer that between you and God. I'm going to ask those who are serving communion to come up. As we come around the Lord's table, Paul says this is a time for you and I to examine ourselves. What a great time. To come clean in confession and repentance. As Christ followers, we continue to sin. This is a time, as the Spirit of God, the Word of God, brings to our attention things we need to confess and repent of. It's a time of self-examination. And receive the forgiveness and restoration that's been won for us on the cross at Calvary. So as we pass the bread out, I'm going to ask that you hold it and we'll partake together. But use this as a time of confession and repentance as we do this.